The Athletic.
I'm sorry, you can sit there and look and play with all your silly machines as much as you like.
Is Gascoigne going to have a crack? He is, you know. Oh, I say! Brilliant!
He's round the goalkeeper, he's done it! Absolutely incredible!
He launched himself 6 feet into the crowd and kung fu kicked a supporter who was without a shadow of a doubt giving him lip.
Does it tame and tame and tame again?
Crank up the music! Charge your glass! This nation is going to dance all night!
Which 33% of the phrase FA Cup final should we be emphasising? A philosophical battle in goal? A roller coaster of cup fortunes in defence? Can a player be Mr. FA Cup? Tim Lovejoy's cup final moment of hubris, embarrassment, and then hubris again? Roy, Cefax, Eason Doe, and one bastard to keep them all in line. Brought to your ears by The Athletic. This is Football Clichés and the Pure FA Cup 11. Hello everyone and welcome to episode 161 of Football Clichés. I'm Adam Hurry. Alongside me, once again, is Charlie Eccleshare. How
are
you doing?
Good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. A slight spreadsheet mix-up.
Oh, wow.
I should reveal. This isn't actually your 100th appearance, it's your 99th again.
Ah, I'm just stuck on 99. I just can't get that century.
I'm devastated. I was going to let you do the intro and everything. I was going to let you lead the podcast out of the tunnel.
Oh, man. Well, maybe that will, you know, this will happen eventually, won't it?
Yeah, I hope so. I feel bad that you've turned up to the Zoom in a nice suit with a big flower on it now.
Yeah, that had it dry cleaned and everything. This is like, I feel like there are, well, I guess it's a, like Pele, there's always that debate, isn't there? Not that I'm comparing myself to Pele, but, you know, how many goals did he actually score? Or, yeah, you know, does Charity Shield count as a goal or an appearance? So, you know, maybe it's fitting.
Yeah, I should add, it's not the creator of the spreadsheet's fault, it's mine. Alongside you for this one, his 22nd appearance.
22nd? Wow. They fly by.
And who does that put him England cap equivalent with? Who would you guess, Jack? Who's around 22?
Who's got 22 caps for England?
Yeah.
I would... Hasn't Michael Carrick got something like that, bizarrely? Like a bizarrely low number.
22 caps puts you...
Hargreaves, would he be around there? He must
Gary
have
Pallister. Lee Dixon. Darius Vassell.
Oh, what a player. Great players.
That's perfect. That's perfect for you.
Three legends.
Yeah, you are quite Vaselli because we bring you in when we need you, not because we're short of options, but because we think you can do a very specific job.
Yeah, that gives me the image of me coming on in the Euros against Portugal and ruining it by being rubbish after an early injury.
What is the potential for that?
Why didn't they bring on Joe Cole?
Nick Miller wasn't available, unfortunately. So, yeah, before we get stuck into what could be a potentially very straightforward task for us ahead of the showpiece event this weekend, let's do a little adjudication panel, please. Manchester City have announced the signing of Erling Haaland. He'll be arriving at the Etihad this summer. Jack, is he the final piece of the jigsaw? He could be the most final piece of the jigsaw-y player I've ever seen.
I think he has to be, although it's weird to... We're in unprecedented ground here in the sense that a team which is probably about to win its fourth Premier League out of five seasons can still be described as an uncompleted jigsaw. And yet I can't think of another example of a team that good adding a player that big who is meant to be the final step.
I remember that the first time I ever heard this expression, and you always remember the first time this sort of thing, and it didn't prove to be it. But it was so final piece in the jigsaw. The year was 97 and Liverpool were the Spice Boys and they were soft. They just needed a hard man, someone with a bit of presence.
Oh, okay.
And they signed Paul Ince and that was going to take them over the line. They were going to win the league.
Midfield.
Because they had the governor had arrived.
Oh, yeah.
And he was going to sort it all out. But it didn't come to pass in the end.
So it's not, Charlie, you don't think that it's traditionally a striker-centric thing?
Well, I think it often can be a strike because that's the most obvious, isn't it? You're a team that doesn't score enough goals. But in that case, there was so clearly an issue with a lack of presence and attitude, that that was the final piece in that particular jigsaw.
Yeah, or like Alisson and Van Dijk.
I was going to say exactly that. A rare defensive double final piece.
The first piece, just doing a jigsaw backwards and getting the first piece in first. Nothing wrong with doing it, whichever strategy suits. Okay, now we've established that. Charlie, now the cat is out of the bag in terms of this deal. What is the new worst kept secret in football?
Ooh, that's a really good question. I mean, Jesus leaving City, maybe going to Arsenal, or I mean, that feels pretty
bad. Kind of implies you've got inside knowledge now. You've got to be careful, haven't you?
Yeah, no, that's just what I read from David Ornstein.
To be honest, I would say that doesn't sound big enough to be worst kept secret in football, Lee.
What about Mbappe?
I think this might be Mbappe to Madrid. Yeah. That's got to be the worst kept secret in football.
That's been
it?
Terribly kept for a long time.
Unkept.
badly kept. What a book idea that is.
Everyone's just told their friends and it's spread very quickly.
Speaking of long running sagas, after Liverpool got the job done just about at Villa Park on Tuesday night, I'm delighted to say that for this season at least, and hopefully longer, Steven Gerrard doesn't have to do this anymore.
In terms of Liverpool, again, I don't think this press conference should be about any other club but Aston Villa.
Listen, when the whistle goes, I've got 90 minutes to represent Aston Villa and to try and win the game. That's my job, that's what I'm paid to do, and that's my main focus.
My job is to win games for Aston Villa. It's a wonderful game for everyone to watch at the weekend, but my priority is Aston Villa v Tottenham. My full focus is on that game.
For me, it was about the first whistle and really focusing on the job I had to do here.
That next stop, Liverpool, any sentimental thoughts in your head?
None. None at all. Just want to go there and try and win and try and take what we can.
I'm not going to go there because my focus and my priority right here is Aston Villa.
I've tried on both occasions just to keep me focused on Aston Villa.
Try and win the game, and that's my only main focus.
Try to focus on Aston Villa and make sure that was the priority.
A rare example of a montage that goes on longer and better than I actually expected. Jack, surely the patience now needs to be... I feel like there needs to be kind of like a secret briefing between Gerrard and every single journalist in the UK to say we don't need to do this anymore. We will play them at least twice a year. This is going to happen.
I don't think so, because I think he enjoys it.
I don't think he does.
Do you not think? I think he enjoys getting to be the ultra professional. The amazing thing, listening to that back, was every single time I expected him to say Aston Villa Football Club, and yet we didn't get a single football club.
I'm not really surprised.
Not out of six. Six times Aston Villa, no Aston Villa Football Club.
Or even this football club.
This football club, yeah.
I think he stopped clubbing straight after his unveiling, and then it just became Aston Villa.
Got it all out the way on his debut, sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think because Frank Lampard is still football clubbing Everton, but because they've got such a short name, I think it kind of lends itself to it. Whereas Aston Villa Football Club sounds too long and therefore brings on too much earnestness.
Yeah, that's why I think the opportunity was really there for this football club. But I do kind of agree with Jack that there is something...
There is a glint in his eyes slightly about it.
Yeah, because what the silly thing with it is that I don't find it that... of course he just wants to win for Villa. He's uber professional and dedicated. Mm. I almost think he'd want to win more because he would so love to show them that he's good and that he's, a really top-class manager. So I think it is quite a nice opportunity for him to say, yeah, I'm... absolutely dedicated, I'm just about winning and I don't care about the sentimental stuff, which I'm sure is true to a large extent.
Maybe, Jack, one reason why he might want this to continue is I guess that it's a strand of questioning that he'll never ever lose control of. He's never going to get rattled by a question about winning against Liverpool, so it's a good 45 seconds of every interview/press conference that he can basically control and just trot out the same line again and do it in a really Gerrard-y way, which is just kind of make it very clear that everything is okay above board.
Yeah, completely. The one thing that managers always want is questions which they expect are coming and they don't want to be caught off guard. Whereas this is the most predictable question of all time. And like I said, I do think he enjoys it because I think it gets to reinforce his self-image of I am Mr. Competitive, I'm Mr. Professional.
Yeah.
I'm incredibly serious about the work that I'm doing here.
Okay, fair enough. Well, long may it continue then. Look forward to his next prediction of his reception at Anfield. Should be a good one. Easy one for us next, Charlie. Popmaster this morning, please rate this one out of 10.
And you're a Leeds United supporter, yes?
I am indeed, for all my sins, Ken. I'm going along tonight, actually, to see us play Chelsea, unfortunately.
Well, you never know what... You never know. It might happen. It might happen.
We're living it up.
Right.
Almost went too far, Charlie, with two things, saying all my sins.
All my sins. Just interesting.
Just as if there's some sort of catalogue of it. And then, unfortunately, yes, I've got to go and bloody watch my bloody team again.
Yeah, I quite like that as an added flourish of that genre of the, you know, the long-suffering fan. And I'll be there tonight, unfortunately.
But, Jack, at what point does the kind of parodical doing this kind of, you know, against all will become just don't bother, mate?
Also, I can very much imagine this guy saying something along the lines of, but we wouldn't have it any other way.
We
don't enjoy a minute of it, but that's Leeds for you.
Big time. Right, let's do this. Today's task is the pure FA Cup 11 ahead of the final on Saturday. This is a pretty straightforward thing, Charlie. Most of our 11s are very vibe-based. This might have to be a bit more factual, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's hard to make a case for someone being very FA Cup-y if they've done nothing of note in the FA Cup. Though there were a couple of tangents that I think we can potentially go off, away from just the kind of FA Cup heroes or those who have gone down in FA Cup infamy. But yeah, that's probably the bread and butter of it.
I'd say the broad task here, Jack, is to make sure that we tick every FA Cup box, not just about finals, but about the competition as a whole. So let's try and kind of sum up why all these players kind of encapsulate their particular strand of the magic of the FA Cup. So let's exchange our pendants, and it's time for the traditional FA Cup pre-match song.
What a night day!
Magic. I didn't know about this. Dave, that's brilliant. Thank you. Thank you for this. I'm ready to go. I've got the FA Cup coursing through my veins. But I have one final thing to ask you before we get stuck into this. A question, Charlie, that you might feel is unnecessary, too nuanced for this. But the more you think about it, the more you're going to start doubting yourself. My question to you is, ahead of this showpiece game on Saturday, which bit of the three words do you emphasise in its name?
I'm now massively doubting myself.
Just say it out loud.
Yeah, where are you going to watch the FA Cup final?
So you're emphasising cup a bit there? FA Cup final?
Yeah, I think so. I think that sounds better than the FA Cup final or the FA Cup final. Yeah, I think I'd say, where are you watching the FA Cup final?
All of them have their merits. I mean, Jack, if I said to you, oh, did you manage to get a ticket for the FA Cup final?
Yeah, that'd be weird. Although people don't often say FA Cup final. They say Cup final as meaning FA Cup final. Yeah, Cup final is much easier to say. FA Cup final is actually kind of harder to say. So I probably wouldn't say FA Cup final. I'd just leave it assumed that I wasn't going to the whatever other cup finals are happening this weekend.
But you're happy with FA Cup final?
FA Cup final sounds a bit more, you know, BBC, grandstand.
I ran a poll on this back in 2018. I don't know if consensus has changed since then. The landscape may have shifted. But 44.1% of people said it was FA Cup final. 27.2% went for FA Cup final, which I think is actually probably right. And the remaining 28.7% went for FA Cup final, which is...
That's weird.
Maybe there's a bit of a grey area in between all of those, but FA Cup final is indeed the most commonly accepted emphasis, it seems. So, in our team of pure FA Cup men, let's kick off in goal. I thought this would be tricky, and then it instantly dawned on me that there are so many standout candidates here. Let's kick off, Charlie, with Jim Montgomery from the 1973 final, with one of the most absurd saves I've ever seen. He's right up there as a candidate.
Yeah, he's one of them. Dave Besant was... instantly who came to my mind. Is he still the only keeper to have saved a penalty in an FA Cup final?
Yeah, it does feel like one of those records that was proudly held and then has probably been broken in those years that no one can remember when the finalists were, by which I mean the last 10. I really hope that's still the case. Yeah,
he was certainly the first, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And very much synonymous with that FA Cup victory for a team that was incredibly FA Cup-y. Yeah, okay. I mean, you know, the crazy gang beating the culture club, as John Motson put it. So him and then Bert Trautmann is the other one who came to mind as a famous FA Cup story.
Jack, I have to say, Bert Trautmann, it's hard to look past the great man.
It was when I was thinking about this that I realised I wasn't quite sure exactly what direction to go in, because I found myself torn between Bert Trautmann and, I think, the greatest FA Cup story of recent years, Wayne Shaw.
Not
the Sutton United goalkeeper, the Sutton United substitute goalkeeper.
Yeah.
Highgate.
It was, of course, Ross Warner in goal for Sutton United that day.
One of the most genuinely forgotten figures in FA Cup history. Yeah.
Wow. He's apparently playing for Havant and Waterlooville now.
An FA Cup giant themselves.
Yeah. I think that was an amazing story, because it just really underlined the, you know, how something which is meant to be romantic and fun and unlikely can just basically get ruined by football's relationship with the gambling industry and crass commercialisation. So I thought the Wayne Shaw story was a great, great, great story.
That's like a parable for our times.
And I can't choose Wayne Shaw, Bert Trautmann is tough.
Well, I mean, I was about to say, before you embarked on your genuinely quite fulfilling and logical explanation for Wayne Shaw and defence for picking him for this team, I thought, this is going to define which path we go down with this team. Do we have legendary heroic figure with broken neck, or do we have pie-eating comedy figure?
Given that Wayne Shaw was the sub keeper, you could always have Bert Trautmann in goal and Wayne Shaw on the bench eating his pie in the Wembley dugout.
And making a lot of money. I mean, but I think, Adam, it's fine to have a mixture, no? I think that's more interesting, that the team isn't purely kind of FA Cup. You know, we don't want it purely to be an 11 who would feature on the BBC's, you know, FA Cup icons.
This is hugely important. It's hugely important that we do not skirt too close to becoming Match of the Day top 10s.
This is hugely important.
Maybe Wayne Shaw is the way to go here purely for that reason. What do you think?
I think so, because then there'll be plenty of scope for, you know, those Trautmann Besant style characters.
Yeah,
but
I agree.
I think Shaw's a great shout.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, Jack's cross-sectional explanation of it really does hit home. Wayne Shaw is our goalkeeper. Apologies to all the other true heroes of the FA Cup finals of yore. Over to right back. Anybody got any right backs? I've got one. It's tenuous.
I've Gary Charles, because he was the guy in the 91 Cup final who Gazza tore his knee ligaments fouling, wasn't he? So that's one of those hugely significant moments in football history. And the FA Cup's history. And yeah, that was the first right back that came to my mind.
Yeah, that's all I've got, Jack, Gary Charles. I mean, we're doing him a slight disservice in the grand scheme of his career, but he was a useful FA Cup prop, for want of a better word. So do we have any advance on Gary Charles?
I don't have a specialist right back in my team. I struggled a bit with defenders for this. So I think Gary Charles is a great suggestion.
Well, we weren't the only ones to suggest it. So Gary Charles is our right back. Let's go over to left back, which I think we have two possible options from my perspective. We either have Ashley Cole, a seven-time winner, sincerely feels like we can't ignore the fact that he's won the FA Cup more times than everybody else. Alternatively, we could go for Dave Whelan, who broke his leg. You may have heard in the 1960 final. And I've touched upon this story before, Charlie. But the rumour that goes round is that his leg was broken by Cat Deely's granddad, Norman Deely.
I remember hearing you say this before.
Yeah. So I wanted to try and get to the bottom of this once and for all. It seems like an apocryphal tale. But
tell me you reached out to Cat Deely in the process.
No, I've gone to an even more reliable source. I Googled it, and the first thing that came up was a highly regarded online forum, UK Airshow Review, on which Spiny Norman asks whether Cat Deely's granddad was the one who broke Dave Whelan's leg in the 1960 final. It gets into some seriously deep genealogy chat, because it's all about first cousins and that sort of stuff. But right at the bottom, someone says, Eric B123 says, if Norman was a cousin of Howard, and Howard was Cat Deely's dad, then that makes Cat the second cousin or first cousin once removed. So they are related, it would seem. Cat Deely's relative broke Dave Whelan's leg, according to UK Airshow Review Forum,
in association with Squadron Prince Aviation.
I mean, that could be grim reading for Ashley Cole. I mean, I do think Ashley Cole is a good type of person to have because he kind of represents the modern FA Cup in lots of ways, in that it's no longer really about lesser fancy teams winning. It's more teams like Chelsea. You know, the biggest teams tend to win it. And Chelsea have become, as I've said before, this deluxe FA Cup, this deluxe cup team, who, less so when he was there, I guess, because they were still winning leagues. But they've become, Chelsea have become very like FA Cup-y. So that's a tricky one. Again, it slightly depends on the path you want to go down. I mean, maybe given we've overlooked Troutman, we should have one kind of heroic injury story.
I know, but
depends the makeup of the rest of the squad, I guess.
I think people are expecting Ashley Cole, Jack, and as Charlie kind of rightly points out, he sums up a tricky era for the FA Cup, but he also seems like a player who seems to be constantly asked, what does the FA Cup mean? What did it mean? What does it mean to you to have won it so many times? And he gives a very, very sort of diplomatic FA Cup-y answer every time. So Ashley Cole really does feel like the talisman for this particular era.
Yeah, so I've got Cole. I had Cole written down on my team, but the question I was asking myself was, is he too good to be in this team?
No. I don't think that's a factor this time, I have to say.
Because what you could say, though, is that Cole is not, even though Cole has won 7 FA Cups, he's not famous. You know, if you ask people what Cole's famous for, okay, you'd say he was brilliant at Arsenal, went to Chelsea under, you know, pretty controversial or unpopular circumstances, was really good for Chelsea, was brilliant for England, England's best ever left back, sensational in the Euros, had great World Cups. Like, the fact that the fact that he was so successful in the FA Cup would come like 7th or 8th if you were to list things which Ashley Cole's famous
for.
This is true. So that might be an argument against having him in the team because he's not known as an FA Cup guy, but I can't think of anyone else.
What a sign-off for that stating of your case. Given the lineup so far, I feel like I'm going to have to go for Ashley Cole. The FA Cup might not be significant for him, but he's significant for the FA Cup, and that's all that clinches it for me. So let's go over to our centre-halves. First up, Charlie, there's so many ways we could approach this, but first up, given that I can't really think of centre-halves who've dominated FA Cup finals, which is the most visible point of the competition, I'm going to have to go a little bit further back. And that makes me think of Wayne Hatswell, scorer of, I think, one of the greatest own goals of all time, perhaps even the greatest, in an FA Cup first round defeat for Forest Green at home to Morecambe back in 2000. The left foot hoof into the top right corner where the owl was unexpectedly sleeping.
Having a kip, not expecting to be disturbed there. Yeah, that is a legendary one. I mean, that's very much in the hall of infamy, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, that's quite good in that it's someone who is known for nothing else. Someone else who I think is known for very little else and is quite an FA Cup overcoming adversity story is Andy Linegan, who he was like a third or fourth choice Arsenal centre-back, never really had a moment of note before or after. And I think he broke his nose in that game or something. There was some sort of injury and he staggered on and scored a 120th minute goal winner.
In the replay.
In the replay, indeed, yeah.
Well, replay's a nice little touch as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Back when, and you know, those games that would just feel so long that went to extra time on that huge pitch and the players are dropping like flies and up pops Andy Linegan with his broken nose.
That's so, listener, real Tom H agrees with you. Jack, how do you feel about centre-halves here?
Yeah, I think Andy Linegan's a really good one. So I was thinking, I haven't got anybody who, from the kind of Hatswell school, it's more people, you know, more recent and more like final oriented guys. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking maybe having the two ones that stood out to me that are more modern would be Stefan Honcho, simply because his handball in the 2001 Cup final, just before, which obviously led on to Michael Owen scoring those two goals and winning it for Liverpool. That's a great FA Cup moment. It's also a classic pre-VAR moment. I know he was good for Liverpool for a long time. I can't remember any specific other incident involving Stefan Honcho apart from that handball. So I quite like that one. I also quite like Per Mertesacker on the basis of the kind of, you know, he more than anyone else represents that, like, you know, the last decade of the FA Cup. He won it 3 times. He was the last defender to score in an FA Cup final.
Okay.
In 2015 against Aston Villa. So I was thinking maybe him, or maybe if you wanted somebody slightly more traditional, Gary Mabbutt.
Oh.
Hero from 1991, but in 1987 obviously scored an own goal on the way to Coventry City winning it, which is one of the last great kind of non-elite FA Cup wins of the sort of FA Cup dominant era.
I quite like the sound of Mabbutt, and I think that edge, his sort of roller coaster FA Cup fortunes perhaps edges him ahead of Linegan for me, when you bear in mind the mid-80s to early 90s golden era of FA Cup finals. I think I'm happy with Gary Mabbott. I have him in as our serious, sincere option. And I offer you two more left-field choices. Mike Bailey writes in and says, it would be remiss to ignore the dominance of public schools in the early years of the FA Cup. So I propose tough-tackling Lord Arthur Kinnaird, who played in a record-breaking 9 finals for Wanderers and Old Etonians. Definite captain material and primed for a royal handshake. We do need a little bit of flavour of the early years, don't we, Jack?
Yeah, we do. I actually don't have anyone in here from, you know, from the good old days of expensive schools and universities winning it. But just because those kind of names are not really that familiar, like Fatty Folks. I couldn't tell you which I know the name, but I couldn't tell you which FA Cups he won or even wasn't. Did he even win the FA Cup? Is that a kind of a problem on his record? You know, it's like Harry Kane. He never
Wayne Shaw's inspiration, presumably.
Yeah. Did Fatty Folks ever win anything?
FA Cup twice winner, 1899 and 1902.
Show us your medals.
Yeah, very much.
Fatty.
So. Thing is, with Kinnaird, he played in every position from goalkeeper to striker. And in the 1877 final, he suffered the indignity of scoring the first own goal in football history, or the most significant own goal in football history, accidentally stepping backwards over his own goal line after catching a shot from an Oxford University forward. So he's in the bloopers reel as well.
He sounds pretty. He's pretty good credentials.
Probably the oldest player, Charlie, to have a playing style section on his Wikipedia page. He was renowned as perhaps the toughest tackler of his day, giving rise to the probably apocryphal story that his wife once expressed the fear that he would come home one day with a broken leg. And a friend is said to have responded,
that apocryphal.
You must not worry. Let me continue.
I'm sorry.
A friend is said to have responded, you must not worry, madam. If he does, it will not be his own.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So he was fond of hacking his opponents, apparently.
The bite your legs off.
Yeah.
Of his Norman Hunter. Is
him going on to become an FA kind of administrator as well. He died the opening of Wembley Stadium as well in 1923. Shame.
Get him in the team. He sounds great.
Lord Arthur Kinnaird. I do want this kind of old flavour.
Also, that's brilliant to then go from that all the way to 2017 and Wayne Shaw.
Yeah, imagine them. Imagine them in the tunnel beforehand, geeing each other up. The only other option I had, kind of obdurate Jack, someone who would be able to stem the tide if things were getting a little bit hairy and maybe in the latter stages. What about Billy the Horse from the 1923 FA Cup final? The White Horse.
You'd have him at centre-back. Yeah. Wouldn't you want to take advantage of his speed on the wings?
I don't think that was what he was notable for. I think he was just a sturdy presence. But do you know what? He wasn't even white. He was grey, Charlie. He was a grey horse. It was a myth. No, let's not be silly about this. Let's go with...
That's too gimmicky, isn't it?
Yeah. Let's partner Gary Mabbott with Arthur Kinnaird, a man who tasted every flavour of the early FA Cup years. So this is that's our back line sorted.
Oh, look at that! That is wonderful!
Brought to your ears by The Athletic. This is Football Clichés.
Let's go into the midfield where things can get a little bit more adventurous, a little bit tastier. Give you some names first, or Charlie. Ricky Villa, Mickey Thomas.
Yeah. Yeah, there are a lot of possibilities here, aren't there? I mean, more modern Aaron Ramsey, and two FA Cup final winning goals, and the sort of the man for the big occasion type characters.
Charlie, since we're going for four generic midfielders of any description, really, I feel like we can have one each, and then we'll try and find one that we all agree on. So, Charlie, you can nominate your first midfielder, as long as it's not too an egregious choice. We'll go with it.
Yeah, I'll go Aaron Ramsey.
Okay.
To have a modern spin on it. I mean, there are a lot of potential midfielders, I think.
Okay. Jack, talk me through the most FA Cup-y midfielder in your head.
I think, given that we don't have Trailman, I do think we should probably have Stanley Matthews.
Right.
Having an FA Cup final named after you is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
The Matthews final, 1953 final, when Blackpool beat Bolton. That's really, really cool. There's only a handful of other players. Trailman's actually one of them to who would have that honour, I think.
Oh, really?
I think, well, how many other players have got, like, how many other finals are known as the player name final?
I'm trying to think of the
Callum McManaman final of 2013.
I think the Gerrard
final.
Gerrard 06 is probably the last one where if somebody said the Gerrard final, you would know what FA Cup final you meant.
I agree.
They meant. I don't think there's been one since. Mm. I actually can't think of that many more from our lifetimes that would get that. Like, would people actually call the 2001 final the Michael Owen final? Maybe
they might.
Push?
What's I
the
think
most
they might.
Tenuous player X final we can think of?
Callum McManaman, 2013. That I think he was man of the match, wasn't he, Jack, against City in that final?
Yeah, Ben Watson scored the winner.
Yeah, and he was really good, but the idea of calling it that is absurd.
That could go on the DVD cover, couldn't it? Definitely.
I really like the idea of it.
There were some shouts for Callum McManaman in this team, I have to say.
Yeah.
But, still playing for Tranmere Rovers?
Yeah.
Di Matteo, I mean, didn't he get two goals in the FA Cup final? Yeah. Didn't he get the winner in 2000 as well as that really early one in 97?
Yeah,
what about Ray Parlour 2002? Would you describe that as the Ray Parlour final?
Maybe. Or the Tim Lovejoy final.
Tim Lovejoy, Ray Parlour final, yeah.
Let's dig into this. I mean, I'm uncomfortable with having Aaron Ramsey and Ray Parlour in this team, just for variety purposes. But
you can't have them both
in. Let's dig into the Ray Parlour credentials here, because I think he might well usurp Ramsey here, because that final was notable for the nadir of the Sky Sports fan zone gimmick. It pitted together Bradley Walsh, who won Best Dramatic Performance at the British Soap Awards in 2006, versus Chelsea fan Tim Lovejoy, who, of course, was the 49th most eligible bachelor in Britain, according to the Daily Telegraph 2009. So two huge heavyweights in British culture. And it resulted in one of the underrated moments of schadenfreude in FA Cup history.
Who have you got on your bench? Because you need to bring on someone, don't you? Oh, no, he's putting through. Oh, sorry, it's only one.
Charlie, imagine not only having a very risky prediction thrown back in your face, but by Bradley Walsh in the mid-2000s.
It must be almost exactly 20 years. I think 20-year anniversary is probably just past of this. I mean, this is such a big moment that maybe Ray Parlour should come into the team. I mean, it's only Ray Parlour. That was what he called his It's Only Ray Parlour's autobiography.
It's the only Ray Parlour final, isn't it?
He never scored another goal for Arsenal. It's just, there's something so...
He never scored another goal for Arsenal?
No, he left 2 years later.
Sorry, I see what you mean. He didn't score any other goals for Arsenal. Sorry.
It just felt like the crowning moment of his career, but also of Tim Lovejoy, of his own hubris. You know, he was the kind of puppet master of British footy lad culture, and he thought he could do no wrong. And then here he was getting his comeuppance in the most amusing way possible.
But Jack, there is another layer to this scene, because perhaps only Tim Lovejoy could turn this around into his favour, turning embarrassment into self-celebration. This is a passage from his well-known book. This is what it says. As I walked into the players' lounge, the Sky presenter Richard Keys came up to me and said, "It's only Ray Parlour, Tim." Then Alan Shearer comes over. "Don't worry, Tim," he says. "It's only Ray Parlour." Then it's George Graham's turn. "It's only Ray Parlour, Tim." Suddenly, this one throwaway comment got out of control. Everywhere I went, complete strangers were just coming up to me saying, "Hey, team, it's only Ray Parlour. It's only Ray Parlour." So he's almost turned it into a boast.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think I know Tim a bit, and I think being part of, being bantered by important people from within the world of football is not something that he minds. It's something I think he's very on board with being, having shared jokes with big guys from the football world. So I think for him, the kind of immediate embarrassment of it is probably outweighed by the fact, by the kind of layers and layers it adds to his own kind of mythos.
Okay. That seals the deal then. The Tim Lovejoy enhanced Ray Parlour 2002 final seals the Arsenal man's inclusion in this. So we need two more midfielders alongside Ray Parlour and Stanley Matthews. Dave O'Leary writes in, Charlie, and says two words: Dennis Wise.
Interesting. He was very, very FA Cup-y for a while. At that time where Chelsea were a very FA Cup team. And he did just seem to pop up every year. And he's got the Crazy Gang on his CV as well.
And I believe, Jack, he pioneered the practice of carrying one small child with them during a post-trophy celebration.
Oh, really? So, I didn't know that.
I do remember that, a kid having Wise on the back of his shirt.
I think that kid now plays for Watford.
Really?
Henry-wise. Oh, wow. It's either him or Laurie Sanchez. Because... So which one are we having?
Yeah, I've got Sanchez written down here because Sanchez, you know, not only scoring the winner for Wimbledon in the 88 final, but also managing Wickham to the semis in 2001, yeah, could arguably make him one of the ultimate FA Cup men. Sorry. An ultimate FA Cup man.
Yeah. Yeah, let's have Laurie Sanchez over Wisey, shall we?
We've got guys like Mickey Thomas, haven't we, still, yeah, to that moment. That is a real... I mean, that is a bit BBC Match of the Day top 10, but to be fair, it was clearly an amazing moment, that free kick he scored against Arsenal in, whenever it was, 1990?
Yeah.
92?
92, yeah. I mean, yeah, yeah. A good moment. But Charlie, it's not Ronnie Radford, is it? It's not Ronnie Radford.
It's not.
Please, I'm going to do this off the top of my head. I haven't exercised these mental muscles for a while, but I'm going to see if I can perform the Ronnie Radford commentary from start to finish. Please excuse any minor errors. Here I go. Ronnie Radford.
This is Ronnie Radford. To Addison.
Tyler now. Good ball. Out by Natras.
Good ball. Out by Natras.
This is George the substitute.
Turning this is well. George the substitute. Oh, turning well.
Malinder.
Meadows heading it on.
The spirit by this Hereford side.
Tremendous spirit
by
in this Hereford
means.
Side. They're not giving this
Radford.
Up by any means. Radford.
Now Tudor's gone down for Newcastle.
Now Tudor's gone down
Radford
for
again.
Newcastle.
Oh, what a
Radford
goal.
Again.
What a goal. Radford the scorer.
Ronnie Radford.
And the crowd. The crowd have invaded the pitch, and now it might take some time to clear the field. Tremendous shot by Radford. Ball.
He got that ball back
inside the penalty area,
well,
and no goalkeeper in the world would have stopped that. It fairly flew into the top corner of McFaul's net.
Amazing.
That was about 95% correct, wasn't it?
Very, very good.
Thank you to Childhood Video 101 Great Goals.
It is amazing, isn't it? Those things that are just imprinted on your mind from watching those VHSs over and over again.
Yeah.
I mean, that has to secure his inclusion in this team. I mean, that is
I would go as far to say that not only should he be in this team, Jack, he is Mr. FA Cup. If anyone
I
is,
think
it's Ronnie Radford. Mr. FA Cup.
I think so. Given what we were saying earlier about how ideally we want players who are not really famous for anything else.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, like Stanley Matthews, Bert Trautmann, Gary Mabbutt, Ray Parlour. A lot, you know, these guys had great careers. Even if they hadn't played a single game in the FA Cup, they would still have been great players.
I agree.
So I reckon it is Radford.
If we don't have Ronnie Radford, I'm not playing. Let's go up front. We've got two strikers to pick. Charlie, Keith Houchen, Didier Drogba, Tim Bazaglo, Roy Isando. The bones
yeah.
out of those.
I mean, Roy Isando feels... I think he's hard to overlook. It's just the most classic FA Cup story.
Mm. What's the best part of it for you? What makes it most FA Cup-y? What very specific element of the story makes it most FA Cup?
CFAX? I mean, wasn't that...
Not scoring in the FA Cup. CFAX.
Well, the fact that it came from he was like a CFAX signing,
yeah.
wasn't he? The idea of an amateur going on and, you know, living out all our dreams, because that's always the one where we were kids anyway. I don't know if it's the youth of today or the same, but it's all, you know, scoring in the FA Cup final was always the ultimate. And I know it wasn't the FA Cup final, but doing that and I mean, because it was a quarter final. It was 2001, wasn't it? And it was the Wickham team managed by Laurie Sanchez,
yeah.
who, as you say, we mentioned before. And he scored, the winner, was it away at Leicester?
Mm.
Who were a Premier League team
yeah.
at the time? I mean...
Well, if anyone knows how to get the best out of Roy Isando, it would be Laurie Sanchez in this team. So, good to have them
exactly,
alongside
yeah.
each other. Oh, yes, this was a great FA Cup moment, Jack. This was Laurie Sanchez watching from the dressing room on that tiny little telly in that
amazing.
Sweaty little room at Filbert Street. That tops it off for me.
Yeah, one of the things I love about this is because of when it happened in 2001, it's obviously a little different technological era, as with the TV. And I was reading the BBC match report on this earlier, and he wasn't a CFAX signing. Like his agent saw a piece on CFAX seeing Wickham need a new striker, but that was after Wickham had initially posted it on their club website. which I'm sure, you know, back in 2001, a lower league club having a club website was like an amazing thing to have. It'd be like, you know, it'd be like an Isthmian town, sorry, Isthmian league team now having NFTs or whatever. It was really, really ahead of its time. And quite amazingly, in the BBC report of this, the intro is basically about, it's amazing this, they've got the internet now. And the intro is, the internet has an answer for many things. A cheaper car, a last-minute flight, or a match-winning superhero,
nice.
which I absolutely love. So yeah, I think the technological details of the Sando signing make it. He was the first name on my team sheet, even ahead of Wayne Shaw.
Yeah, the Sando story edges him ahead of Leeds' favourite Jermaine Beckford, Charlie, who doesn't quite have the texture to his FA Cup story, so we can't have him. Is it a bit too old man-y to go Keith Houchen? He's very FA Cup, Charlie.
The only thing with that is, are we then too 87 Cup final focused? Yeah. Is that a bit of an overlap, given we've got this kind of rich tapestry to pick from? I mean, yeah, you meant Drogba was definitely the sort of modern. I can imagine him on a tweet at that time with the three logos of how many he'd won and how many winning goals he'd scored and a kind of Mr. FA Cup.
Yeah.
Caption.
I do wonder, Jack, if we need a striker or we need a player in our team who will get asked whether they watched the FA Cup as a child back home and answers with the story of them all crowding around a TV to watch it. Could Drogba be that man for us?
If we need a foreign striker, particularly one who's played in cup finals and played well in finals, I think it would have to be him.
The only problem is having Drogba and Ashley Cole feels too much of an overlap. So I wonder if there's another...
I'm tempted to stick up for Woking's Tim Bazaglo here. Mm-hmm. Scorer of the hat-trick against West Brom in one of the ultimate giant killings back in the day. But neither of you seem particularly enthused, so I'll leave it aside. Who are we left with?
I like the idea of having the kind of lower league mischief maker centre forward, as well as Asando up front. So the one guy who I did like was, do you remember Matt Reed? Reed with an H.
Reed.
R-H-E-A-D. He played up front for Lincoln on their run to the quarterfinals in 2016-17.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't actually score a goal.
How many feathers did he ruffle to the nearest half?
So many. Joey Barton got sent off diving, trying to get Matt Reed sent off. And he was just like a big, big guy who would throw himself around and run into people and elbow people. I actually saw him playing a few years after this for Billericay Town. Also inspired the kind of classic sort of FA Cup newspaper story. Matt Reed has gone from JCB digger maker to FA Cup
battering ram. We haven't done part-time jobs here, have we?
I know, yeah, I know.
This is good. How do you feel about Reedy, Charlie?
I mean, always an advocate for any kind of Reedy.
I feel sad for Drogba, but...
It's Matt Reed, though, isn't it?
Also, Drogba has probably got, you know, other accolades to his name.
Yeah. He won a Champions League final with the last kick of a penalty shootout.
Well, I guess, yeah, by the Jack logic that he himself threw out regarding Ashley Cole. But yeah, Drogba, you would probably think more synonymous with that and the league titles almost.
And he doesn't really have an FA Cup moment, FA Cup. Does he?
Well, he's got the one...
2007 final?
Yeah, 2007 was the first final at the new Wembley. That was...
You're putting a face.
It's a good goal. A good goal. First final at the new Wembley, as Charlie correctly says. But is that going in a montage anytime soon? It's not, is it?
Not...
You're going to drop the FA Cup Chelsea montage.
You mean of a great FA Cup moment montage? No, exactly. No, probably not. Yeah.
Matt Reed, though.
It was when the Nets were rubbish at Wembley as well.
Yeah.
They really hadn't sorted that out. Not that that's Drogba's fault. Yeah, this is a tricky one.
Yeah, I feel like...
I just wonder if Reedy is sort of well known enough.
Yeah. It's not a very stellar strike force, is it, Roy Isando and Matt Reed?
No, yeah.
No, I think it...
Who have we got? Let's keep it unsophisticated. Let's keep it magical. Let's keep it Matt Reed. So let's examine this team as a whole, just in case we do want to make any last-second tweaks. Wayne Shaw in goal, a back four of Gary Charles, Ashley Cole, Gary Mabbott and Arthur Kinnaird. In midfield, Ray Parlour, Stanley Matthews, Laurie Sanchez and Ronnie Radford. Up front, Roy Isando and Matt Reed. A very hearty 11, Jack. Very salt of the earth. They're going to get this job done.
Yeah, I think we might need a little bit of extra quality off the bench. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you mentioned him before. I wouldn't mind having Trevor Sinclair on the bench.
Okay.
Just for scoring, I think, the best FA Cup goal of our lifetimes. Admittedly, a player who, you know, had a good otherwise, you know, good club career otherwise, went to World Cup. But for me, I mean, you know, ask people what Sinclair's all about. It's all about the overhead kick. A goal which, frankly, does not get... You know, sometimes you watch old goals from 30 years ago and they're not as good. This goal is absolutely still as good as it was when you were kids. It is sensational.
I agree.
And also QPR are rubbish in the QPR are rubbish in the FA Cup. They haven't got beyond the fifth round, I think, for forever. So yeah, for me, it's Trevor Sinclair against Barnsley.
Perhaps I'm fairly glossed over him. Listener JLR wrote in and says, Trevor Sinclair for me played in the FA Cup through all four tiers at Blackpool, QPR, West Ham and Man City. And of course came on in the 86th minute for Cardiff in his final ever game. Five clubs, four hairstyles, three decades and two goals in 38 games. What more could you want? Our midfield's so strong though, Charlie. But Trevor Sinclair on the bench is absolutely fine for me.
And Drogba on the bench
as
well.
Yeah, well, we definitely have Drogba on the bench alongside Dave Whelan and Bert Trautmann as well. Solid squad. Look forward to seeing them trotting out at Wembley. The old Wembley, not the new one.
We are counting the Cardiff finals as canon, aren't we?
Definitely, because they were good enough.
Because we've got the parlour.
Yeah.
But there is some people don't.
Oh, no, I think that's quite good to have a...
I think the Cardiff finals
are... They're fondly regarded, though, aren't they?
Wasn't it you, Adam, who the other day said to me the Cardiff finals weren't canon?
Because
I had the argument with somebody, and I think it was you.
I wrote back on it straight away because someone correctly pointed out the Gerrard final, as we have established. And also, every time I think this, I also bear in mind everyone says that the Millennium Stadium is a really good venue for football. Like, it's better than Wembley in many respects. So
it was actually... It was also the Michael Owen final. So there's a disproportionate number of interesting finals.
And good League Cup finals as well. Like, it's got those in its locker too.
It had that Mourinho 3-2 against Liverpool one, didn't it? Yeah. For Chelsea in 2005.
Maybe we can have it ahead of New Wembley, but behind Old Wembley. And maybe the Oval as well. Who knows? Referee for this one, unquestionably, Seager Bastard. Referee for the 1878 final. Of course, married to Gertrude Bastard. And they had one daughter, Florence Bastard. Amazing. Final question for you, Jack Pitbrook. If you examine our team again, Wayne Shaw, Gary Charles, Ashley Cole, Gary Mabbott, Arthur Kinnaird, Ray Parler, Stanley Matthews, Laurie Sanchez, Ronnie Radford, Roy Isendoe or Matt Reed, which of this team is wearing the lid of the FA Cup as a hat after they've won it?
I think Wayne Shaw and Matt Reed are fighting over it.
Oh, I think Ray Parler might want to get in some of that action as well. I can imagine Parler drinking whilst having the thing on his head and sort of larking about.
You can't have both. You can't have lid as hat and drinking from cup. So should we have Parler drinking from cup?
Okay, Parler drinking from
and
cup.
Wayne Shaw can have the lid as a hat and the rest of them sort of doing a jig, which is pure FA Cup, the jig. Arms pumping alternately, fists facing upwards. Champione, Champione, the simply rhythmical up and down is not FA Cup. That does not count. That's for winning leagues and Champions League. You must not sing Champione after you've won the FA Cup.
And will Wayne Shaw be... Will the having the FA Cup hat on his head, will that be some sort of scandal as well? Or is that all above board?
Potential spread bet on him.
Yeah, just give it another layer.
Defacing the FA Cup. Thanks to you both for selecting the most cross-sectional FA Cup lineup ever achieved. Thanks, Charlie. See you next time for your 100th appearance. Thanks to you, Jack Pitbrook.
My pleasure.
And thanks everyone for listening. We'll be back for the adjudication panel on Tuesday. See you later.
The Athletic.